Good evening. We are living in a time when many people are weak spiritually because they do not realize they are in a battle. Too many think the Christian life is a life of ease, comfort, and convenience. But Paul tells us plainly in Ephesians 6 that the Christian life is warfare. And not only Paul, but Christ and many of the apostles treated it like a daily battle, a daily war they went into. We are not on a playground. We are on a battlefield. Every day we leave our homes, every time we leave this building, we are entering into a war zone. If we don't start understanding this, then we will be unprepared for battle and we will lose. It is that simple. If we are not prepared for what comes every day when we exit our doors, if we're not prepared spiritually, mentally, to take on the challenges, the obstacles that we will face, the very obstacles Satan will place in our path, you will stumble and fall. And so the reality of the battle is not for the faint of heart. The first thing we must see is that there is a real conflict taking place. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Christianity is not merely about coming to worship on Sundays, Sunday night, Wednesdays, about having Bible knowledge and outward religion. It is about standing faithfully against the forces of evil that we face every day. Because we need to understand Satan is not careless and random. He knows how to tempt, how to discourage, and how to divide. That's why we see in places of Scripture Satan being considered the father of lies, the ruler of this world. There's a reason. Satan is not someone we can just push aside and think that he is weak, that he has nothing that can cause us harm. He does. He has schemes, as Peter puts in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Paul says in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we see Peter talk about Satan as a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. And then, of course, Paul reiterates, our battles are not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the world forces of this darkness. And no, we are not talking about our government or any government of this world. We are talking about spiritual forces. Now, this does not mean that people cannot oppose us, but there is a darker conflict going on. We make the biggest mistake of thinking our biggest problem is politics, culture, the economy, hostile people, difficult circumstances. And if you think that way, you are wrong, because that is not the biggest conflict that's going on. These things may trouble us, but the real issue is spiritual. And so during these battles, who can we draw our strength from? Well, the Christian strength is in the Lord. Paul says in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. This is important. Why? Because Paul here doesn't say in your own strength. I don't care how physically strong you are. it will not help you overcome this battle. But he says, be strong in the Lord. Our strength comes from our relationship with Christ. And so let me say this, if your relationship in Christ is weak, you will not be strong. You will not stand against Satan. You will not overcome the temptations you will face. Paul said elsewhere in places like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. As well as in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecution and hardships for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think sometimes we forget what Paul and really all the apostles went through. And it wasn't just being arrested. It wasn't just being verbally persecuted. We're talking full-on physical persecution. And we're not talking about a smack on the hand, a few slaps in the back. We are talking brutal. It wasn't nice. And I'm sure all the apostles had scars to prove it. But a Christian cannot defeat Satan by his own wisdom, by his own strength. No. Because this true spiritual strength comes from dependence upon God. You know, I'm sure a lot of you in your past have tried to overcome temptations on your own. How did that work out? Well, for me, I failed miserably. Worse than an F on a test, like a G or an H. Didn't do too well. And this is why many fail. Some Christians think they are strong because they have been members of the church for many years. I don't care if you're 90-something years old. If you've been a Christian for 60 years, you can still fall to temptation. If we have that pride, that ego of thinking, well, I'm strong because I've been in the church for many years, boy, the fall will be great. Some think they are strong because they memorize Scripture. You know, there's this thing that church camps do, and over the years, I started seeing a lot of weakness in what they do at camps. It's called the Centurion Challenge. And if you don't know what the Centurion Challenge is, if you memorize 100 Bible verses, you get a t-shirt that says Centurion. But you know what I started doing after about 2 years of seeing it in action? I started asking the kids and the teenagers, what were the first 5 Bible verses you memorized? Can you tell them to me again? Guess what? Not a single one. I understand it's a great idea, but just to memorize, and let me tell you, their favorite one verse to start off with is the shortest verse in the entire scripture. You know which one it is? Jesus wept. That's their favorite memory verse because it's short. Memorizing Bible verses won't do a thing for you. And it's just like reading through the Bible in a year. I'm glad people are opening up their Bibles and reading through it in a year. Great blessing. But have you studied Scripture? Do you know what chapter, what the chapter is saying? Are you pulling and applying it to your life? Once again, these are things that Christians, this is why a lot of Christians are struggling. This is why Christians keep coming up with the same questions. Why do I keep falling into sin? Because you are not studying and living Scripture. You're not living for Christ fully. You're not giving him everything, all of you. You're definitely not depending on him and drawing your strength from him. Strength is not found in appearances. But strength is found in abiding in Christ, trusting his word, walking in obedience, and depending upon his might. Once again, I'm going to name the ingredients. Strength is found in abiding in Christ, trusting his word, walking in obedience, and depending upon his might. You do those four things, I promise you, every day, not just once a week or twice a week, every day you wake up, you're going to find yourself with the spiritual strength to overcome. Now, with that said, God has provided us with something, and that something is the full armor. And so, the belt of truth, starting in Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. The belt of truth. The belt held everything together. I don't know how people can walk around holding up their pants all day long and not have a belt on. I don't. It's not comfortable. You have your hands are holding. So how are you going to do things all day long? The belt is important. It holds all things together. Without it, the soldier wasn't prepared. And so truth is foundational. The Christians must be grounded in truth. Do we understand what that means? Grounded in truth. Not just memorizing verses. Not just being able to say, well, the book, Philippians is here, Genesis is here. Not general Bible facts, but knowing Scripture, being grounded in truth, knowing how to defend it, living it. That is what it means to be grounded in truth. Because a Christian cannot stand without truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. False doctrine, it weakens the church, it destroys souls, and it blinds the heart. False doctrine tells you what you want to hear, but it's not what you need to hear. And so truth is the foundation. If we are not grounded in it, the rest of the armor is not going to fit right, and it's not going to help us. The second, the breastplate of righteousness, the end of the last verse, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. The breastplate protected vital organs, right? He wanted to have breastplate on. Even our soldiers today wear the thick steel armor that they put in their vest. And when a bullet hits, it doesn't penetrate the organs. But we see here righteousness protects the heart and the life of the Christian. Now, of course, our heart is not speaking of this beating thing in our chest. Here's the heart, the mind. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Guess what? Satan loves moral compromise. He loves moral compromise. Why? Because unrighteousness weakens us. You know how we need to react to sin, to morality? Like Superman does with kryptonite. Getting away from it, not having anything to do with it because it weakens us. Yet we have many Christians who go after unrighteousness, who wants unrighteousness. And then we have the feet fitted with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A soldier needed proper footing. Why? So that he would be able to keep moving and not slip. Once again, you're not going to get on a football field with tennis shoes. You're going to have cleats that dig into the ground that give you traction, that helps you move forward and not be moved back. If a soldier slips, he's vulnerable. If he slips and falls, he's vulnerable. The Christian must have steady footing in the gospel. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups one and broke down the dividing wall of partition. The gospel gives stability. It reminds us who we are, whose we are, and what Christ has done. This also suggests readiness. Guess what the Christian should be prepared to do? The Christian should be prepared to carry the gospel, live the gospel, and stand on the gospel. That means we are to carry the gospel. You know, one thing that we as a society need to do today, as the church, honestly, is to put down the phones, to put down everything that distracts us, and start carrying our Bibles like we do our phones. You'd be amazed what that will do. And I know, I have the Bible on the phone. Well, then you need to put on Do Not Disturb and study it, because you got so many distractions on your phones. You need to turn off the TV once again. And then live the gospel, of course. How do we live it? We obey what Christ has told us to do. How to live. Once again, we have so much in the gospel we are to do. And we need to carry it out flawlessly. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but we need to do as it says. And to stand on it, not compromising. Next, we have the shield of faith in verse 16 of Ephesians 6. In addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield was vital because the enemy fired flaming arrows. It's interesting when you look at the Romans, what they would do, they would have men who would set their shields, and then men behind them come over and put the shields over top. And it would protect and not allow any of the arrows to come through and pierce anyone. It's an interesting formation. Paul says Satan does the same spiritually. And what are some of the flaming arrows we can think of? Well, temptation, doubt, fear, discouragement, lies, lust. The list can go on. These are arrows that we may allow to pierce us, not carrying the shield of faith. In Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and the hearing by the word of Christ. If you neglect God's word, prayer, worship, guess what happens to that shield? It becomes weak. Your faith. Faith means trust. We put our trust in God. If we are not taking his word seriously, we're not taking prayer seriously, worship seriously, our faith is going to weaken. It's going to weaken. And guess what that means? You're going to fall. Faith is not vague optimism. It is confident trust in God and his promises. We must keep our faith on fire. And it's hard, but we must. Once again, how do we keep our faith on fire? Not neglecting his word, not neglecting prayer, being here for worship, having fellowship with the saints, and living for him daily, spending time with him daily. Then we have the helmet of salvation. Verse 17. Also receive the helmet of salvation. The helmet, of course, protects the head. You get shot in the head, you're dead. That's how it works. Actually, scientists will tell you, I forgot what the part's called of your brain. Once that's disconnected, it's lights out for good. You're not coming back. Salvation guards the mind with hope and assurance rooted in God's promises. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Hope protects the mind from despair. You know, despair is something of a great enemy to Christians. Because Satan, what he likes to do when we're down, he likes to continue to kick. And he tells you things like, well, you've wasted God's patience. He's not going to forgive you this time. There's no hope of salvation. You're too far gone. Well, instead of listening to him, how about you go to his word? Because that hope is there for all who pick themselves up, repent, and keep moving forward. When we are washed by the blood of Christ, we're not going to be perfect. But we need to walk forward. And to know when we do fall, God's there to pick us up. We need to repent and keep moving. He doesn't want us to stay in a pit of pity. He doesn't want us to stay down and allow the enemy to keep kicking. We have God on our side. Why are we allowing someone to do that? That helmet of salvation reminds us that in Christ there is forgiveness, redemption, and eternal hope. All through Scripture, we can see that we can have assurance of salvation. Once again, we cannot allow one piece of armor to be forgotten. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So here's the offensive weapon. I don't know if anybody's ever watched, that title of the show went out. They build weapons. And then they go before the judges and they have to test their weapons to see how they withstand strikes. And Forged in Fire? I don't know. It was on the History Channel. But it was a cool show. You know, these blacksmiths would come in and build these weapons. And, you know, some of them were garbage. Some of them just collapsed after the first strike. But a lot of them did well. And they won a prize at the end. But our weapon, of course, is not... It can be a physical weapon if you have to smack someone with it. But our weapon helps us defend against temptations, against all the errors, against everything, against our enemies. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of their heart. Now, there's debate among Christians and scholars on what the word represented here is. We know the book of Hebrews talks about Christ. But it's weird. Many translations capitalize word here. Mine is lowercase. But when we go to Matthew 4, where Christ is tempted, how did he overcome the temptations? By quoting Scripture. He went back to Scripture. This is how error, temptation, false teaching, and hearts are defeated. By the Word of God. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul took his word seriously. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As he says, for it is the power of God. This word convicts. This word pierces the soul. It changes people. It has the power to change people. But people must be willing to allow it to change them. They must be willing to give all their attention to it. You know, how many of you have watched Forrest Gump? I'm sure all of you have. I have. But one part particularly, they're taking their weapons apart, and Forrest Gump's the fastest at it, and of course his drill sergeant's just pleased. Then he puts it all back together. Once again, in the military, soldiers are told to know their weapons. You lose your weapon in battle, what happens? You're dead. You're not going to make it. So shouldn't we know our weapon inside and out as a Christian? And there is one more thing we must remember. Prayer is essential to the fight. Prayer is not listed as a separate piece of armor. It is woven through the whole passage. Think about the thread, the fabric that they wore under the armor. Think about that with as prayer. Prayer is woven through verse 18. Praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end, being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The early church prayed. The early church took prayer seriously. Do we? Do we really take the whole armor of God, and do we put it on daily when we walk out? Are we informed? Are we ready and prepared to battle? If we're not, understand, you won't survive the fight. You will not survive. Prayer is not reserved for emergencies only. A good, healthy prayer life is an individual praying countless times a day because they depend on God. Putting on the whole armor of God is not just for emergencies. It's for everyday, all-day usage. His word is not just to be brought out when a bad thing happens or when you're having a rough day. It should be every day. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, we should be in the word of God. And there we will find our faith builds, we grow closer to Christ, and we're going to be able to overcome temptations that we may struggle with. But until we take this battle that we face every day seriously, we won't survive the end. And the end is this: depart from me, I never knew you. That's the ending of those who did not take it seriously. But for those who have and every day continue to battle, continue to move forward, their end will be a happy ending. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so this evening, we need to stand firm and put on the whole armor of God and start being the church Christ has called us to be. We need to be the disciples that Christ called us to be. Not lukewarm, not pretenders, the true deal. The only way we can be the true deal is to do as we are told. So this evening, if you're not a Christian, I pray and hope that you decide this evening to give your life to Christ. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10, 17. You must believe the word, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Must believe. Without belief, nothing else can be done. We must believe first and foremost. But then we must repent of our sins. That means change. We are no longer the same man that we once were. We are now God's. We are turning to Him, depending on Him, and putting off our old self, Acts 3:19. And then we must confess our faith in Christ. Once again, Paul confessed Christ wherever he went. He was not ashamed, was not ashamed of the gospel, was not ashamed of Christ, even when he was suffering like his Lord and Savior. We must confess our faith in Christ before men, not deny him. Because if we deny, Christ will deny us before men. Romans 10, 9 and 10. But it doesn't stop there. We must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. We are put in that water. And God goes to work. Our old life is put to death, and the blood of Christ washes over us. And as we come out of that water, we are now walking in newness of life. We are perfect, new creatures in that moment. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And that means putting on the whole armor of God and keep moving every day, doing as God has commanded us. Or if you were a Christian, have fallen short, have fallen away, now's the time to come forward, to repent, and to keep moving forward. So if there's anyone here this evening who is not a Christian or who was, now's the time to come forward as we stand and as we sing.